we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and this is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might also be listening on CFBX in Kamloops, or in Nova Scotia on Axe Radio Canada, or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And today we are going to be talking about the subject of bullying. If you are Canadian, if you're from Vancouver, you've definitely heard about the tragic suicide of Amanda Todd as a result of bullying. And so today we are joined by Dr. Shefali Sabery. She is the author of The Conscious Parent, and she's going to be on for the first half of the hour, and then we will be speaking with Barbara Desmarais, and she is a local parenting coach. So we're going to hear from them on their views on bullying, and I really want to talk more about a holistic view and how we can get to the root of this issue to not only lessen the severity and the frequency of bullying, but also to give tools of coping and self-esteem and interpersonal effectiveness to the kids who are victimized by bullies as well. So if you have a comment and you want to get on the air, I know this is a really hot topic. A lot of people have a lot of different viewpoints on the issue. So if you want to get on the air and talk about it with Dr. Shefali, 604-822-2487. Welcome to the show, Dr. Shefali.
Thank you so much, Marie. It's a pleasure being here with you.
Thank you. And I know you are in New York, so you haven't been as closely affected by this news, but you did watch the video of Amanda Todd on YouTube, correct?
Absolutely, I did. And, you know, there's been quite a lot of conversation on Facebook. You know, she has a Facebook page, and I've been keeping track of the comments and what the young people have to say about it. And it's just such a sad story, but quite telling of our times, unfortunately.
And so as a psychologist, you tell, first of all, let's remind listeners a little bit about your background and your qualifications. You are the author of The Conscious Parent, and you are a therapist.
Yes, I'm a clinical psychologist with a private practice here in New York, and the private practice allows me to have access to families, to children, and really, you know, enter the psychological terrain that often plagues our young people. So I have some access to understand why this phenomenon keeps continuing. And if people watched the Amanda Todd YouTube video that she made, they may have been struck by the enormity of her pain and the isolation that she felt. You know, her last two cards, I believe, were, you know, I need someone. Will someone help me? I need someone. And my book, The Conscious Parent, really underscores how needy our children are of connection and what happens to them when they don't have this connection. And I think she was a sad victim of this kind of ruthless isolation that she felt.
Yes, exactly. And so now as I'm watching the video as from an adult point of view, I kind of have these judgments of like, well, why does she have to be so wrapped up in what other people think and all of that? But then I forget it's so easy as an adult to be in the position of having, you know, a fully formed personality and all of that, to forget the developmental stage that teens are at, where the external world and their peers are where they get validation. And so how can we as adults have more compassion and empathy with people, with young people who are still at that developmental stage?
Exactly. You know, she began the exposure, her exposure to social media began in seventh grade. And really, those last 2 years of middle school, at least that's how seventh and eighth grade is placed here in the U.S., it's the end of middle school, and those years are pivotal for the development of an identity. And teenagers who haven't yet developed any sense of self until those years will flounder, will flail, will be lost at sea. And this is what we saw happening with her. She exposed herself to the world of social media, to Facebook, and began seeking validation from these external strangers. And that's really a sad plight when our teenagers, when our children feel the need to look so out into the orbit for validation. You know, what is, we have to begin to have compassion, as you said, for what are the deeper issues? You know, why is it that she was so lacking in a sense of self? She was desperate. This does not come out of just a kid being reckless or a kid being, greedy for attention. This comes out of some sort of desperation, a plea for attention, approval, for validation, for worth, for belonging that she didn't get at home or in her, you know, immediate surrounding.
And so it sounds like, Dr. Shefali, that you're actually saying, now I have so many issues about the fact that she was online, able to have internet webcam chat with strangers, peers, adults, anyone, predators online without any adult supervision. So that's a whole other issue. But it sounds like you're saying that it is possible for teens to have a sense of self, even though typically it developmentally at that age, it is fairly normal and standard to have an external sense of self. So how can we instill a sense of self in our kids at an earlier age so that they aren't so prone to this type of situation?
Well, you know, and I'll sound like a broken record because this is just my perspective and what I write about, what I teach about, that the primary connection, the primal attachment is the attachment in the home, in the family, with one's earliest caregivers. And it doesn't matter what kind of configuration of home one comes from. It can be a single parent home, a gay couple raising kids, a grandmother in the kid's life that's the primary caregiver. It really doesn't matter, but there needs to be a solidified parental caregiver primary attachment. And you're right. Why was this kid being able to talk to strangers with no adult supervision? Why are our children not being educated about the beauty of social media, but also the perils of social media? Where is the presence of the adult? And it's not just the emotional connection that was obviously missing in this young girl. It was also the practical elements that were missing, like no adult supervision. She comes home and she swallows bleach, and it seems like no one could do anything about it. I'm sure they tried, but no one could successfully do anything to alleviate her pain. So the supervision, which I like to call adult presence, engaged, attuned presence, was sorely lacking in her life. And this is what we need to do to help bolster our children against the cruels of the world, you know, because bullies are everywhere, which is just a sad reality. But we can bolster our children to have some sort of buffering against these stressors.
And so, Dr. Shefali, it's interesting that you use the word, the term adult presence, and I can imagine that that has a deeper level, more than just physical presence, but you actually want an adult who is present and conscious, as your book, The Conscious Parent.
Absolutely. You know, the adults have to be aware from a young age. You know, you can begin to notice a floundering sense of self-esteem as early as 4 years old. As early as 5, you can begin to notice a young girl or young boy falling prey to the needs and attentions of their peers more than themselves from a young age. You can begin to notice these signs very early on. And if there is an adult who's very attuned to that child, that adult can make an intervention and educate and help support that child to internalize a sense of worth so that child doesn't look outward for that connectivity. And this takes a whole lot of attunement, engagement, coaching, support. It's a lot to ask from early caregivers, but that's our job. That's what our children need from us.
And Dr. Shefali, it's so sad. I mean, I just want to take this poor girl and just hold her. And, you know, she obviously needs, well, she's no longer here, but her presence. And in the video, you see how desperate she is just to feel some connection to someone. It looks like we have a caller on the line, so I'm going to bring them up. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm just having a lot of problems with this blame being put on the family, and I think the blame should be actually put on the criminal here, the person who was actually sexually exploiting this woman. I find it extremely dangerous and extremely backwards to continue to put blame on the family and the child when this is a bigger issue. This is an issue involving young people being exploited sexually. This is not, I hear a tone in the voice, the blame being put on the family, and I find that extremely disturbing. The person was a criminal. The blame should be put on the criminal.
Thanks for your comment. I don't really feel like we're putting blame on the family right now. We're just talking about what ways parents can you know, take care of their kids. But let's talk about
that. I understand. I do understand that. But I feel like there's an overall much bigger picture and much bigger problem, and that's that it's becoming more and more acceptable to exploit women on the internet and children. And I think that it's the laws need to be stricter. The people need to be punished more severely. And it needs to be a completely overhauled. I mean, it's a problem with violence against women. Let's face it.
Well, I don't disagree with you there. Thank you so much. Dr. Shefali, do you have a response for that?
Yeah, you know, and the trap here is to actually rest in blame. And so, yes, it was not our intention to blame anyone, but just to begin to engage the dialogue of what are the different layers of prevention that can happen in the future. And you bring up, the caller brings up, the very obvious systemic problem that we have, both against the violence against women, the sexualization of young girls, the predatory nature of the internet, and all these levels need to be addressed. And there is no onus definitely on the victim here, and no one should ever take that away from this talk or any talk on bullying. The victim is just a cog in a very complex wheel that needs to be remedied on an urgent basis. Education, I don't believe in punishing the bully because that just recreates more trauma. There needs to be education. There needs to be prevention. There needs to be intervention much earlier than there is, you know, and yes, and then there needs to be some preventive laws in place to protect the victims, which there aren't, I don't believe there are enough in place. But again, it would be simplistic, again, to just blame one person or one system. It's a worldwide problem right now that we're having with our young girls that needs to be addressed immediately.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the thing, and I thank the caller for calling in, because it is true that, you know, I mean, in this situation with Amanda Todd, there was sexual exploitation going in this situation specifically. I mean, there was an image of her at 12 years old, a nude image being distributed on the internet, and whether that was being distributed by potentially an adult or other kids really is irrelevant. That's the distribution of child pornography. She was definitely being sexually exploited and victimized on a much larger scale than just a bully who's mean to you in school and says something unkind. And we're not discounting that at all. The thing is, we only have an hour to discuss this, and I would really like to open up. You know, she had mentioned that we need stricter laws, and I do agree with stricter laws against the sexual exploitation of women and girls, or anyone, boys as well, online. This is not just specifically to girls. Young boys are exploited on the internet as well. And so the thing is, though, as a society, I mean, where do we start? It's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? What came first, the victim or the bully, or the parents not being home? Or, I mean, where do we even begin?
You know, and I don't think we have the luxury anymore to look for a beginning place, because when we look for blame or look for a starting point or decide that somebody else is more responsible, that kind of lets us sigh and relief. I think there needs to be a concerted, complex intervention on every level, you know, so I'm not going to let anyone off the hook. The schools should have been more compassionate. Mm-hmm. Why was the police coming to her house? You know, the police came to her house as if she was the criminal, and that threw her off into, you know, that catapulted another transition in her life. So why did that happen? Why was the police not investigating and protecting her? Why were they coming and criminalizing her? So I think all of us and every system needs to be on board at the same time. The schools, for sure, need to be doing a better job than just having one bully prevention day that we have. They need to really treat it like a subject, a topic. They should have grades on it. I don't know. That's how they can punish kids who don't show enough compassion or empathy. But, you know, this just speaks to how little our children are learning compassion and empathy, and how few their mindfulness skills are. You know, they don't have emotional literacy skills. This just speaks to so much that our youth are not inculcating and imbibing. I'm sorry, there's some background noise here. Sorry about that.
No problem. So, well, Dr. Shefali,
you know, how can we, as families, as education systems, teach our children empathy, compassion, emotional literacy, mindfulness, and treat each other in a more humane way? I mean, why is it that our youth are so cruel to each other?
Mm-hmm. That is a really excellent question. And in the case of with sexual exploitation, it's really, well, it's time for a break. So let's do that first, and then we'll continue this discussion. Right now we are speaking with Dr. Shefali Sabari. She is the author of The Conscious Parent. We have her just for another 5 or 10 minutes here on Synchronicity, and then we will be joined by Barbara Desmarais. She is a parenting coach, and we're talking about the tragic suicide of Amanda Todd and the issue of bullying and really what we can do to prevent this issue, to stop this from happening again and again. We'll be back with more Synchronicity in a moment.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are joined right now by Dr. Shefali Sabari. She is the author of The Conscious Parent, and we just have her on the line for a few more minutes, and later we will be joined by Barbara Desmarais. She is a parenting coach, and we are talking about the issue of bullying, specifically related to the Amanda Todd suicide. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Shefali.
Thank you, Marie. Thanks a lot for having me. You know, as I sit here, there is such a sense of outrage, you know, when you think of her story and all the signs that we missed and those kids who bullied her and taped her agony and did nothing to alleviate her pain. It just brings about such sadness within me that our children are capable of such unempathic responses towards each other.
Yes, and now we talked a little bit before the break about the school's responsibility, and it's such a difficult, complicated issue. I don't want to put blame on just one single person or group, but you know, a lot of people say, well, there's, you know, it's the parents' job to teach kids these social skills, and yet clearly that's not happening because many parents themselves don't have those social skills. So what do you think needs to be changed within the school and the education system?
You know, it's a multi-pronged approach, right? This is a call to for all of us to wake up, all educators, caregivers, parents, the parents of the bullies, the parents of the victims. You know, we could be raising a bully in our house and just miss those signs. So we have to talk about that as well. How do we educate parents and educators about the signs of a bully, and how do we help the bully remedy their characterological makeup? It's not just about protecting the victim. It's about protecting the bully against their own makeup, because that's a horrible way to live, to be so severed from the heart and from empathy, and to grow up to be almost a criminal at such a young age. So it's a multi-pronged approach where we have to take this issue seriously. And the issue really, when you break it down, is not just a series of do's and don'ts. It's a heart, mind, soul retraining and reprogramming where we take emotional literacy very seriously, where we take mindfulness seriously, where we teach our children how to negotiate their emotional world so that they don't project their shadow emotions on victims. You know, bullies who do that, who are so cruel to other children, are doing so obviously out of some spiritual emotional paucity themselves. They obviously don't have a sense of emotional wholeness themselves. And this is why that they project this group cruelty onto one victim. So those bullies need to be educated in how to access their desperate emotions and how to channel them, how to talk about them and discuss their emotions in a more socially appropriate way, because they obviously are venting this horrible anger that's risen to this proportion, and they're just projecting it onto any victim they can find. So everything is skewed right now, because I don't believe as a universal culture we are taking the emotional literacy of children seriously. We take their academic literacy seriously. We take academic achievement very seriously, but we're not taking their emotional achievement as seriously. And the more we learn to focus on social-emotional learning programs, mindfulness-based programs, we can teach our children how to have empathy and develop skills of compassion, mindfulness, and relatedness. And I believe this is where the deeper-rooted intervention can take place.
Thank you so much, Dr. Shefali. And I just want to repeat again that we're not putting the blame on Amanda or the victim or the parents specifically. This is about how we can help empower kids and what can we do, because there are always going to be bullies in the world. It seems right now that there are more than ever before, unfortunately. But it's so frustrating to me, because I just feel like there's so much more that we could be doing. I just feel like we're failing our kids, and it's so easy to point the blame at the bully, and not to say that the bully is not highly responsible for their own the impact that they have on their victims, but it's such a deeper issue. And what can we do for kids who are bullying? I mean, like you said, there's so much anger. Why do you think that is right now?
Well, you know, who knows? There's so many reasons for this audacity of this population, whichever population. It could be an adult population who's bullying, or in this case, it's a youth population. The audacity that we now seem to have as a culture to dump our anger, our reactivity on anyone who's defenseless. And this comes from some sort of narcissism, some sort of self-absorption, which demands immediate gratification. You know, look at our media, look at our culture. It's just inundated with signals for more and more immediate gratification. We don't have tools as a culture to look within ourselves and be emotionally whole within ourselves. And that's what you're looking at when you look at the rise of bullying. You're looking at a culture that increasingly feels it can project its reactivity on anyone who's defenseless. So we can punish the bully today, but that doesn't mean bullying will not end. Bullying will continue if we do not take care of why the bully gets created in the first place, and what tools the bully is missing that causes him or her to project this sort of emotional absurdity on someone who's defenseless.
Thank you, Dr. Shefali. And I know we don't have much more time with you. You have a busy day today. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I think, you know, your point about not resting easy in blaming just one system, and really looking at the in all the systemic forces here, the criminalization of and exploitation of our young girls, social media and adult supervision, the education that our children are facing and being delivered today, the parental attachment in the house, all of these factors are at play, and we can't, as a society, any longer just blame one system and rest easy any longer because our children are suffering.
Yes. And how can people get in touch with you if they want to get your book or want to learn more about how they can become more conscious as parents and help their children to be more conscious?
Well, I have a Facebook page, so they can connect with me on my Facebook page. It's Dr. Shefali Sabari's Conscious Parenting page, or they can connect with me through my website, which is theconsciousparent.com. So I hope viewers will write to me so we can discuss this issue more deeply, because there's so much that needs to be talked about and so many layers that we need to examine.
And you're also part of Goldie Hawn's Foundation for Kids. Is there anything, does she focus on any of this prevention of bullying or anything like that?
Goldie Hawn's Foundation, MindUp, is an absolutely fantastic organization that goes into the school systems and teaches educators, counselors, and students how to regulate their emotions by understanding how their neurobiology works and understanding how to master their emotional reactions by observing their mind and understanding their brain. So she does wonderful work in this area, and this is, I believe, what needs to happen more and more in the education world today.
And so what if now Goldie Hawn is, well, she lives part-time in Vancouver, right? Is this just for American schools, or how can people get someone to come and talk at their school?
No, I believe she has a program in Vancouver as well, a thriving program there, and burgeoning programs all over the country and even internationally now. So people who are interested in calling her program to their school need to do so through her website. It's the Mind Up program, Mind Up. And if they Google that, they can definitely connect with the organizers there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time, Dr. Shefali. It has been such a pleasure having you on the show, and unfortunately for these circumstances, but it's been wonderful speaking with you.
Same here, Marie. Take care. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So again, that was Dr. Shefali Sabari. She is the author of The Conscious Parent. And again, there's the Mind Up program. She is involved with the Goldie Hawn's Foundation. So you can Google that Mind Up program if you're interested in learning more about that. And coming up in a few minutes, we're going to have Barbara Desmarais calling in. She is a parenting coach. In the meantime, I'm going to put a song on and... Whew, I just need to take a breath. This is a very emotional topic for me. I was the victim of abuse in high school, and as I'm sure so many people were, abuse and bullying and all of that. And the fact is that bullying happens not only in high school and elementary school, but even bullies grow up to be bullies. And so there are bullies in the workforce, there are bullies everywhere that you go. And I think that is why I'm focusing on how we can help our kids and empower our kids to have the emotional literacy and the mindfulness skills and the interpersonal effectiveness skills to handle bullies. Because as much as it would be great to be able to punish bullies, there's always going to be bullies. And so how can we deal with that situation? Okay, so is this Barbara?
Marie?
Hi.
Hi.
Is this Barbara?
It is.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, so I don't have to play a song. You're on the air. So, Barbara, before we begin the discussion and continue this discussion about bullying, can you give us a little bit of background about what you do and how you help parents?
Okay. I am a parenting coach, which came from a background in early childhood education and parent education. And I've been coaching parents for about 10 years. And what we do is not therapy. Those of us that do this work provide our expertise and experience in parenting. So provide new perspectives for parents, some tools they may not have, things that will lead them towards harmony in their household. So, and I really, really like to look at the big picture. So it's not only providing discipline techniques, but it's also looking what's going on in the family as a whole. So lots of times it can be, a mother that's unfulfilled, and so we look at that because that's the reason that she's lashing out at her kids or all those kinds of things. So I really like to, I have a holistic approach to parenting. So it's all sorts of things, but generally working towards harmony within the family.
Wonderful. So I don't know if you had a chance to hear the earlier discussion with Dr. Schifali.
I did not, because I was actually out giving parenting workshops.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
And I've just got home.
Okay. Well, so Dr. Schifali, we've spent some time talking about how parents can help their kids, and we did have a caller call in, and if anyone else would like to call in with their ideas on how we can get to the root of this issue, 604-822-2487. One caller commented that she felt like we were putting too much blame on the family and the victim of the bully, and that there needs to be more severe punishment for bullies. And so that should bring you up to speed with where we're at right now. I'm just so emotionally just messed up from this whole situation, and talking about it just gets my adrenaline going. And so I'm kind of at a loss for words. I'm just wondering what your perspective is and what you feel like we can do about this issue.
Well, number one, it's something that bullying has been going on since the beginning of time, and will continue to go on. It happens in schools, it happens in the workplace, it happens in homes, in neighborhoods, it's everywhere. And there is a lot of emphasis on bullying in schools right now, but we have to remember that it goes on absolutely everywhere. So what can we do about it? I think there is just a whole combination of things to look at. There are certain kids that tend to be more targeted than others. If we look specifically at schools right now, those kids tend to fall into one of a few categories. Number one, the kids that appear weak and vulnerable tend to be an easy target for a bully. What can we do about that? Not an easy answer, but when I'm working with parents, I like to give them tools to help their kids feel strong and confident. And does that mean that will in itself bully-proof them? Of course not. But we do know that children who exude confidence and strength are less likely to be targets. Then there are the kids who are different. And those are kids that might have a disability, or they might dress differently, they might talk differently. They tend to be easy targets. What can parents do in that situation? That is difficult, because we can give our kids, our disabled kids or our kids that are different, as much confidence as we can, but they are who they are. And there isn't an easy answer except to give them the tools, give them the language, give them the comebacks that might help. And I often say to parents to find out what your child does where they experience success, because it's success that makes us feel good about ourselves. It's success that helps to build confidence. And every child is good at something. And it may, if it's not in the academic realm, it might be outside. It might be in sports. It might be in drama. It might be in music. It might be in cooking. Find out what they're good at, and so that there's a better chance for them to experience success, because that in itself makes a child feel more confident.
Now, Barbara, the question came to mind because this is an issue where when a kid is being bullied, often parents will go and talk to the parent of the bully. And obviously, people who are reading books like Dr. Shefali's book, The Conscious Parent, and people who are seeing coaches, parenting coaches like you, are making more efforts to raise their kids in a way that is going to help them grow into successful, happy, healthy adults. But so what does a parent do when they're up against a family or a parent that is clearly not trying very hard or not wanting to admit that they are the parent of a bully? How do you handle that situation?
That's difficult. But what we do know is that the more it seems that the more parents get involved in the situation, the more chances of the bullying to escalate. Because I think as much as possible, my recommendation is to stay out of it as much as you can. And lots of times, the bullying may not be as bad as the parent itself is perceiving it to be. I just want to say
we're talking about bullying in general right now, because I know a lot of people, I can imagine people are thinking Amanda Todd, because we are talking about Amanda Todd and her suicide today. And I want to say specifically, like, Amanda Todd's case of bullying was highly extreme.
Yes, it was.
Right now you're talking about bullying in general.
In general. Okay. So do you want me to comment on a case as extreme as Amanda Todd?
If you have something helpful to say about that, yes.
You know, it's so, and I don't know. I know so little about the family, I do not want to point fingers towards the parents, because I don't know anything about them. I don't know their family situation at all. We all do, of course, wonder what a 12-year-old was doing on webcam without parent supervision. But I do not want to jump to any conclusions, because we know so little. I wish I had an answer, Marie. I don't know. I wish I had an answer. That's all I could say. This absolutely should not have happened. This child is too young. She has just started her life. This is not supposed to happen.
Yeah. If you have an idea or what we can do about this situation, 604-822-2487. That's the thing. I mean, there is no easy answer. There's no one thing we can do to prevent this from ever happening again. The one thing that I guess we can be thankful for in this death of Amanda Todd is that it has brought the topic up, and it has brought it to the forefront. And so hopefully her death will not have been in vain, and some good will have come of this. Changes to the system, changes to laws, changes to the way people parent their kids, changes to so many things. But let's bring it back to something a little lighter, maybe bullying in general. Because you were on a train of thought there before I brought up Amanda Todd again.
Well, bullying, yes. I mean, just going back to the fact that bullies are absolutely everywhere, and determining who their targets are. Just a little side note, Marie. I as a parenting coach have chosen not to talk a lot about the bullying situation, because I feel like it has just been in the news so much. There is just so much attention put towards it, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. It seems to be getting worse.
Exactly.
So I don't feel putting so much emphasis on the bullies is necessarily the answer. I choose to look at it from, you know, let's do what we can. Parent our children in a way that lessens the chance that they will be victims. Doesn't guarantee anything. It doesn't matter what how we parent our children, how we raise them. We can raise them in the best possible environment, and things will still happen. But we can do things that lessen the risk. So, you know, what's going on in your household? Sometimes we have to look at the psychological profile also of the bully themselves. What's going on in their home? Are sometimes I find out when I'm working with parents, and I learn about what's going on in the family, and I'm hearing what's going on, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, you are raising a child that's going to go out and do this same thing to somebody else. So what I'm listening to is children themselves being bullied by their own parents,
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, partners bullying each other. And so when you hear a man demeaning, undermining, bullying his wife, his girlfriend, his partner, you're teaching your children to do the same. And just simply by your role modeling. And also, if you're raising your child in an atmosphere of hostility, it does not make them feel safe and secure. It shakes their foundation. So that child goes into the world not feeling as strong and secure as he could be or she could be. So I like to look at things like that. What's going on at home? What's the climate at home? Not only with the behavior of the kids, the parents. And how are we towards our neighbors? How are we in terms of tolerance towards other people? I was leading a group just last week, and we were talking about that very factor of tolerance and how we role model tolerance. And there was a woman in my group who was talking about her husband, who she said was very intolerant, and she in fact said that he was racist, and she gave me some examples of things that he said. And there's a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old in the house, and then she gave me an example of something her 4-year-old had said to an Asian person in an elevator, and I mean it just made your jaw drop. And she knew right away that this had come from his father. This is what he had learned at home. And so it was really good that we were bringing it up and we were talking about it openly, and she realized the impact of role modeling. So, you know, where does this all start? The bullies themselves are weak, vulnerable people who go out to target people to make themselves feel strong and powerful. So why do they have a need to feel strong and powerful, to undermine somebody else, to build up themselves? So there's just so many things to look at.
Thank you.
What in the workplace? I mean, my kids who are in their mid-20s now have had several jobs. They've been working since they were 16, and they come home and tell me stories of what goes on in the workplace, and there's no question. They are being bullied by managers, supervisors, and as far as I'm concerned, completely unacceptable, and a lot of them feel that they can, they have, for some reason, they're at liberty to talk to young employees this way because, well, you know, if they don't like it, they can go out and get another job, or, you know, they're just throwing their weight around in a way that's completely unacceptable. So, you know, I feel we have to teach our kids to learn how to stand up for themselves in situations like that, and that they do not have to take bullying from a coworker, from an employee, from a boss, from a supervisor. There's a multitude of aspects to this, Marie.
Yes, there is. And actually, it's almost time for another break. But as I was booking guests for this show last week, it's so ironic that I had made a couple of YouTube videos expressing my thoughts and feelings about the Amanda Todd suicide and asking for people to come forth who'd like to be involved in the show today. And I actually felt quite bullied by one potential guest who wanted to be on the show. And I was having a back and forth discussion, And after it was, I obviously decided not to have this person on the show. But at the end, I kind of felt, isn't it ironic that in a show about how do we solve the issue of bullying, I was actually feeling quite bullied by this person who wanted to, or thought that they were an authority on the topic. So, like you said, it really does happen everywhere and into adulthood as well. You did mention that kids who exude confidence are less likely to be the target of a bully. And then, but there's also, in my experience, I've also noticed sometimes people can be jealous of confidence and talent. And they will actually become the target of a bully, and maybe, I mean, if they're able to keep their confidence high, the bully will eventually move on to another target. But I don't think that exuding confidence actually prevents bullies from approaching you.
Exactly. So, I mean, I will qualify that statement to say that, yes, it you're less likely to become a target, but there is no guarantee, because you are absolutely right, Marie. There are a lot of bullies that hate you for what you have. I can't stand that you're popular. I can't stand that you're talented. I can't stand that you have what I don't have. And so I'm going to make you feel how I feel. I'm going to hurt you. Because you hurt me. You hurt me by your very existence, by your very being. And you're absolutely right. I've experienced that myself as well. And the weak and the sort of classic profile or the weak and vulnerable. Is it always the weak and vulnerable? No, it isn't. It's often, yes, exactly, those people that exude confidence. And it's finding, now, there was a woman that was talking, we were talking about this issue in my workshop a couple of weeks ago, and this was a young mom who said that she was bullied a lot, and she said she was really tiny when she was really, you know, much smaller and shorter than her classmates, and there was a boy in her class that bullied her a lot. And she finally got physical with him, and I think she said she hit him in the face or something. And she said he never ever touched her. He stopped it. And so, you know, so that started a discussion. Okay, should we be teaching our kids martial arts? I mean, I would never ever encourage anybody to become violent as a way to solve a problem with bullies. But she said in her case, it's stopped it altogether. I asked the group that I was with, should we be putting our kids into martial arts so they know self-defense? Because would a bully attack somebody if they knew that they could be, you know, flipped upside down in a second? I don't know. You know, what do you think about that?
That's a really good question. And actually, I did take some martial arts when I was a kid. And one of the things, aside from the physical defense, is that they actually, I mean, if you have a good martial arts teacher, they do teach a lot of mindfulness and self-discipline. And
so that in itself is a good thing is a really good thing for kids to know.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that part of, again, with a good martial arts teacher, the ideal is never to have to use those skills. Mm-hmm. It can instill confidence to know that you can defend yourself if you need to, but hopefully you wouldn't have to, and to find another way to resolve the problem and only have that as a last resort.
Yes, yes. I mean, my one of my children was in martial arts, and I know that that's what they teach, and it was good. I mean, I would be interested to know, you know, of those kids that got quite far in martial arts, you know, did it make a difference for them? You know, that's something I don't know. You know, did it make a difference for my son? Could be. You know, it's possible. There just isn't an easy answer. I think that it's really good that it's, yes, when things like this happen with Amanda Todd, as what happened with Amanda Todd, it raises the consciousness and it starts the discussion. But, you know, this discussion is going to go away pretty soon.
That's, yeah, and that's why I wanted, you know, I was feeling like last week I could have bumped my guest to have the Amanda Todd discussion that day because it would be more relevant to what was going on in the news. But I chose to have it today because I want to keep this discussion going.
Going, good for you. Yes. Yeah, because, you know, sadly we're going to forget about Amanda Todd and, you know, we'll be on to other things. But the problem is not going to go away. And I imagine whoever it was that bullied her, those kids will continue to bully. There just is not an easy answer. And I think that, you know, parents getting more involved in the school, that's not an answer either, because that does seem to escalate the problem. The beginnings to solving anything is always awareness. It's always, you know, okay, let's raise our consciousness around this and let's start a discussion. Will we come up with some answers? I don't know, but we can start to ask the right kinds of questions. We can start to look at all different aspects of this. And where does it start? You know, what are the origins of it? Who are the bullies? Why are they bullying? Who are the victims? As we've identified, the victims are all different kinds of people, from the very weak to the very confident. And I think about people in schools who are different. You know, gay people, young gay boys are often targeted, and it's just horrible, horrible, and cruel. And we, as parents, need to celebrate our kids for who they are.
Yeah.
We don't want to say, you know, be different, be like everybody else, and you won't be bullied. No, be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I love you for exactly who you are. And, you know, maybe in schools we need to be teaching more about tolerance in general and need to be teaching it more at home, just general tolerance. The world is made up of all different kinds of people, all different colors, all different cultures, all different ways of being. And everybody has something to offer, and we're all special.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara, for being on the show. We are going to have to wrap up momentarily. Parts Unknown is coming up here on CITR in just a few minutes. So how can people get in touch with you if they're interested in your workshops?
My website is www.theparentingcoach.com. And they can contact me through my website. Email is just barb@theparentingcoach.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Barbara.
Thanks, Marie, for having me.
Have a wonderful day. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So again, that was Barbara Desmarais, and she is a local parenting coach. Again, this has only been an hour-long discussion about bullying, and I certainly do not want to put the blame on the victim. And it's just such a deep issue. And I also want to say that the change in the world starts within each one of us. As much as we can point the blame at people who are doing things to us, and I'm not taking that responsibility away, what we all need to do is take responsibility for our own action. I mean, really, that's the only thing that we have control over. We can try to punish, we can try to change the system, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't put our efforts in trying to change the system, because there are so many issues with the world right now. And at the same time, that change needs to begin within each one of us. The more personal responsibility that we take for our own lives, the more that we can give that to responsibility to our children, model that responsibility for our neighbors and for everyone around us. And so today I would like everyone, and if you're listening on podcast or wherever you're listening from, if you could please send your loving energy to healing this situation to the family of Amanda Todd, to the friends of Amanda Todd, to the victims of bullying, as well as having compassion and love for the perpetrators of violence. And I know there are going to be people who are very angry that I say that, that bullies deserve love as well. But, you know, maybe down the line somewhere, if they had had that moment of love and forgiveness and compassion, they wouldn't feel the need to go out and bully. So I'm requesting your loving energy to be sent not only to the victims of bullying, but also to people who feel the need to be violent towards other people, to be unkind, to be unloving, and to remember that when you are a beacon of love and light and acceptance and consciousness and mindfulness, you are able to shine that light on the world, and that has an impact as well. So thank you so much for participating in this show. I hope that I'm going to try and send a little bit of lighter energy now, because this has been such a heavy topic. And I just want to send my love to you and thank you so much for participating. I love you so much. Be well. Namaste.
I ain't gonna carry that load no more. I ain't gonna carry that load. I'm gonna take that pain and lay it down, 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 down. I ain't gonna carry that load no more. I ain't gonna carry that load. I'm gonna let go. I'm gonna let go. I ain't gonna carry that load no more. I ain't gonna carry that load. I'm gonna take that pain and lay it down, 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 down. I ain't gonna carry that load no more. I ain't gonna carry that load. I'm gonna let go. I'm gonna let go. Down, 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 down. I ain't gonna carry that load.